You forgot the first rule of remakes, Jill. Don't fuck with the original.
Hey everyone, welcome to Don't F with the Original.
With Nicholas, I am the gaming correspondent for Idiomatic.
And I am Dimitri, editor-in-chief of Idiomatic and movie critic. Now, in celebration of the upcoming Star Trek Into Darkness, which is like you have to say it in one breath because there's no colon.
Star Trek Into Darkness.
Yeah, they were trekking into darkness. I realize I said darkness and colon in the same sentence. Anyway.
Nice.
We are going to talk about the original Star Trek, the motion picture.
Yeah.
Although, I find the word motion kind of relative in this context, yeah. But...
that's why we're probably going to, you know, expand a little bit and talk about mostly Star Trek, the original series, and not just the original motion pictures, because we don't want to make everybody sleepy during the podcast.
Yeah, no, I agree. I was going to say, we already talked at length about Star Trek, the motion picture, during our Worst of the 80s podcast. You can listen to it. It's part of the Dreamer's Edge podcast at idiomatic.com. Plug! So we're going to expand the conversation, like you said, and talk about the Star Trek in general, because, you know, it's like the major geek franchise, one of the first that created that devoted fan following, which would later lead to making remakes because you're insured an audience, whether or not they like it, they're going to see it type deal.
Exactly.
So totally in vain with our show is what I'm saying.
Yep.
All right. Star Trek. What was it called?
The Star Trek. Star Trek.
Is it Star Trek?
It's just Star Trek.
I thought it was something like...
No.
Oh, okay.
It's just Star Trek. It's basically the voyages of the Starship Enterprise and its crew. And they basically...
led by Captain Pike.
Captain Pike?
Well, the pilot was... Really? We're doing it in order, aren't we?
I guess. I didn't... I totally forgot that. Captain Pike. Wow.
Captain Pike. He's Kirk's elder... this was before Kirk. He lands on the planet and decides to stay there at the end of the episode. That's why the second episode suddenly is Kirk.
Yeah. Good call. And, yeah, it's basically just a crew of people exploring the galaxy, promoting this, you know, unity thing, you know, that, you know, we can all be together and, you know, even if we're different. Actually, that was the first two seasons. The third season was just the Alien of the Day episode, but the first two seasons...
with time travel!
Yes. And the evil universe... where people have goatees. That's where that comes from, by the way. Every time there's a, you know, evil universe and people have goatees, it's because Spock had a goatee in the evil universe.
Yeah, it's, what is it called? Mirror Mirror, that episode? I
forget. Yeah, I don't remember. I never remember the title of the episodes. Besides Spock's Brains, which was Spock's Brain, which is a classic. But, so yeah, it was just basically this big message of, you know, we can all work together and make this cool stuff in the future. In the future, you know, things will be great. No more racism, no more bad stuff. Just, you know, cool exploring of space.
Yeah, that was totally Gene Roddenberry's idea, is that in the future, we will have outgrown most of the bitter things that is the source of human strife.
Yeah.
No more racism, no more sexism, equal opportunity everywhere.
Yeah.
Which in the 60s mostly meant a bunch of token characters that don't really play much of a role. But...
no, they'll have pretty much, you know, their arcs once in a while.
Once in a while, but there are three main characters to the Star Trek series.
That is true.
It's Bones, Spock, and Kirk.
Yeah.
They're all white.
Spock's a Vulcan. I mean, come on, he's from another planet. He's not white.
Right. And in Star Trek 4, he does mention that he feels he resembles more the Chinese, but...
I guess,
or
yes.
Kirk says that, I don't remember.
Yeah. But you're right, there are both, like, three, you know, white males, which is, I guess, the norm in the 60s, unfortunately.
But it's a product of its time. Like, I'm not trying to say, oh, Gene Roddenberry was a hypocrite. No, he was making televisions in the 60s. He wasn't going to get away with a main character that's black. That wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it is what it is. And I think if for the time, it's great for what it tries to show as the message.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think the reason why people grasped onto it so powerfully, which... to be fair, they didn't grasp onto it when it originally aired. Like, it was a flop originally and only picked up once in syndication when people started watching it.
It had its fans. I mean, when it got canceled their second season, there was a write-in and people said, no, you need to make it more of that, more of this. And there was enough.
Yeah, but there's a reason why it was canceled in second season.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't hitting the ratings.
Good point. It had its niche audience, basically. Yeah.
But then it became huge in syndication.
Yeah.
And I think one of the reasons for that is because Star Trek is the sort of thing that's easier to get into when it airs once per day. Because it doesn't really have the sort of gripping storyline or gripping suspense that will get you to go like, oh, I can't wait to see what happens next week. But it has enough of a intellectual engagement and curiosity to it that you're like, I kind of want to see more of that. You know?
Yeah, exactly. That's what got me into Next Generation as well. I didn't see the first, you know, Diffusion, but when it was on ABC, like every weeknights, you know, it's like, yeah, this is tomorrow I'll watch it again. You know, this is fun. You know, it really gets you into it. So you're probably right in that case.
Hmm. But its huge success for me, I think, with Star Trek is its optimism. I really do think, you know, there's a reason why NASA actually named the shuttle the Enterprise. And it's because it's really beloved. And I think it's that optimism. It's that idea that man can achieve anything. It can overcome its own pettiness. It can go into space. It can solve other people's problems week after week.
Yeah.
it's sort of like man can be awesome and we just have to strive to be awesome and go to places no man's gone before. You know, it's like that whole idea of challenging yourself and succeeding.
Yeah, working together as well.
Yeah, you know,
exactly.
And I think that's what stuck with people. It's such an optimistic message. It's such a American message when you think about it. It's sort of like work hard, do things, and you will achieve greatness. I mean, like, that's the basis of the American dream.
Yeah.
But stripped of its consumerism.
Yeah, and that's hard.
Yeah. And I think that's what's beautiful about it.
Yep. Yeah, you put it very eloquently.
So that show eventually ended, but had its firmly established syndication fanhood at that point.
Oh, yeah.
Which led in the 80s to the first movie, the one we were supposed to talk about, but we're probably going to go really fast across Star Trek.
The Motion Picture.
The Motion Picture.
Yeah. Very ironic title.
Yes. Well, we were talking about it just before recording. You said a lot of it feels like they're trying to imitate 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Yeah. It's really those long shots of the ship and, you know, in the quote-unquote silence of space, although it's kind of like more hum when the ship passes by, and all those sweeping shots of space. They're really trying to make something artsy with it. And, you know, if you're looking for that, it kind of succeeds, but I don't think the average Star Trek fan was looking for 2001 A Space Odyssey when they went to see the Star Trek movie.
No, I don't even know that it succeeds, really, because the Enterprise looks boring. Like, it's the spaceships in 2001 A Space Odyssey are fantastic looking because they look real. Like, they look like a real spaceship might look if it were built, you know, a few years after the movie came out.
That's true.
The Enterprise looks like the Enterprise. It should look like the Enterprise. That's what the mythology established. But it doesn't look fascinating. It, you know, it's a big disc with rabbit ears.
Yeah. It's a disc and then the body, a body, and then the rabbit ears at the end of the penis, I guess, or something. Yeah. It's functional. It's what it is.
Yeah. No, I mean, it looks cool, but it doesn't look real, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
But my biggest problem with that movie is I feel that they missed the point of what makes Star Trek great. There's a certain humanity that's being celebrated in the TV show. And the movie does not do that. It goes into this way funky science fiction concept where the past comes back to you in a different form.
Yeah.
But the humans don't really play a part in that story.
Yeah, slight spoilers, but it's about, like, you know, merging with technology. At one point, when the character becomes kind of a robot-ish thing. Still not quite sure what she turns into. And then, you know, it's basically a robot wanted to meet its creator. It's an interesting message, but really not what the series was about at all.
Yeah, I agree completely. And I think that is its principal failure. I mean, there has been many a blog about how boring this thing is, and they're all right.
Yes, yeah.
But I think its major problem is that it's not Star Trek.
You're right. Also, just as a side note, I just thought, like, you know, Kirk was kind of an asshole in this movie.
In fairness, though, Kirk in the movies is not quite Kirk in the TV show. Because Kirk in the TV show is this guy who always has the answer, who's kind of a loving person. He's a team player and all of that.
Yeah.
In the movies, he's always kind of a jerk who's sort of like, I'll do whatever I want to do because I'm Kirk.
Exactly. And this one is like, okay, I am going to take command of the ship. It was promised to you, but no, I'm taking command of the Enterprise because I want to. It's like... You know, we're kind of like you from the series, but if you know, people who just jump in and watch the movie cold, they're just going to look at those guys like, what a jerk. You know, I like when they just basically hope you saw the background, you know, and say, okay, you're supposed to like these characters. And then they act like weirdly and it's like, yeah, I'm supposed to like them, but you know, he's acting kind of, you know, like an ass. Let's face it.
Yeah, no. It's, the thing with when you make the jump to the movie and you're basing it on TV characters, it can be difficult, quite a challenge to get the characters right because you have to condense them into an hour and a half when really they've been established for years and years and seasons of television where their personality was sort of developed a little bit at a time.
Yeah.
So, because TV show allows you to explore one facet of a character one episode and another facet of that same character in another episode, and the actor gets to make it consistent and you're all good to go.
Yeah.
The movie has to condense all of that, so that can be hard.
Yeah. It takes a really talented writer to basically introduce all your characters and their traits like really fast and like and not take half the movie.
Yeah, we'll get to some of the issues that raises when we get to the Next Generation movies.
Yes. But just, you know, as an aside, one good example of that done well is Serenity.
Yeah.
You know, the scene where the ship is about to crash and, you know, Mal goes from character to character and is like, hey, what is your character trait? Who are you? And basically they react to him. And that's well done. And it's very short and you see what it is. And in Star Trek, you're basically, you're supposed to know these characters. Who cares? Seriously. You know, if you don't, go watch this series. Why are you watching this movie if you haven't seen the series?
But they don't even follow the through line, as you pointed out, of these characters. And I feel a little bit that the writers were simply not interested in revisiting the characters. They were interested in the concept of their monster of the week,
that's
essentially.
True. That is true.
Okay, well, speaking of retcons and going back, might as well talk about the reboot.
Yeah.
We're working our way to it, finally. Star Trek, the original remake.
Yeah.
Which is technically not quite so, because they found a loophole through time travel to make both continuities coexist. But
that's fine. I'm fine. It's a new universe. It's fine. You know,
it's clever, actually. I think it's clever.
It's clever. It works perfectly fine. It was explained in the Next Generation episode where every action that can happen happens in another universe. So fine. We're in another universe, different from the first one. Perfectly cool with it.
Hmm.
I didn't think I was going to like the reboot, but I really liked it. It was fun. It introduced all the characters very well. Even some that came out of nowhere from like in the middle of an isolated planet. And hey, it's Scotty all of a sudden. Let's bring him on the ship. But it was fun. And, you know, it had the link with like old Spock. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. It had a lot of serendipity. But for me, that's sort of what's clever about that movie. Because I guess what I like about the new Star Trek is that it goes back to the original theme of achievement, of human achievement and going where no man's gone before. Because the basic idea of Star Trek, the original series we talked about, is, you know, go where no man's gone before. Don't let anything stop you in your ambition and you'll achieve greatness. And then Next Generation geared it more into sort of almost like sort of a philosophical spin of like, what does human achievement mean and imply and word? And then the other spin-offs just sort of lost that.
Yeah,
you know?
You're right.
And the movies have none of it.
None.
You know? And this one is the one that went back to it. But how do you do that today? Like, you know, we're a much more cynical society than we were in the 60s.
Yeah.
And so they went like, well, what's the one thing that's always standing in your way? Oh, yourself. And that's what the movie was all about. It was about two characters, Kirk and Spock. Bones got totally shoved to the side there.
I know.
And it was all about these guys who have this great destiny that we know of and that they themselves are almost aware of.
Yeah.
But are sort of just feeling torn about the weight of carrying such a destiny. On the one hand, you have Kirk, who had a great father, who was this amazing hero, who died a hero in a scene that had me teary-eyed. It's really effective, nice. I find. And just going like, ah, the weight of that. I feel angry and rebellious and, you know, and it's that's totally in keeping with Kirk as a character as well, where he's just like, I don't obey any rules and I won't even obey the weight of my own pathos. And then you have Spock, who I could relate to in the sense of like, he's having the classic immigrant thing where he's like, my mother is from this culture, I'm living in that culture, and my father's from that culture. Yeah. And it's sort of like, everybody's making fun of me for it. I have that pathos going on. And then both of them, we know, have a great destiny.
Yeah.
Because we've seen the series. Mm. And both of them are being like, such dicks about it. Like, so reluctant until, like, as if the plot itself just went like, no, you are going to become a hero no matter how hard you try not to be. I'm going to put you next to Scotty. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
You people are going to end up together being friends no matter what. And they're just like, why is the universe pulling us in this direction?
Yeah.
And I like that. I thought that was an interesting idea.
That's interesting. Yeah. There are certain things I didn't like that were weird. Like, for example, one I like was the engine room. I like the engine rooms being clean, you know, it's like, it's the future, it's clean, you know, everything, you know, we're getting this all pollution crap, and that engine room looked like such a mess. It looked like a giant beer factory, I guess, or, you know.
Scotty's not there to clean it up.
I guess so, but, you know, the warp engines are gone. It looks like it works on oil, you know?
I got a sense of hydraulics.
Yeah, but, you know, this isn't steampunk, man. This is the future.
That's how it felt to me, though.
I know, but I'm not saying it's not steampunk. It shouldn't be on steampunk. It should, you know,
it works on the lithium crystals, yeah. It's supposed to.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know.
How do I know this?
Because you're a geek like me. I don't know why they had to change it. It seems ridiculous. The phaser's bouncing was kind of weird too.
Yeah, the gun sound on the phaser was like, is that a ricochet sound I'm hearing? That's really weird.
Right on the mirror with a laser pointer. Well, that does not ricochet with a ping.
Although I will say, a lot of people have said, like, oh, they changed the phasers. No, if you watch the original series, the phasers look like guns. They did not change them.
Yes, they changed it in the Next Generation so that it would look less like gun.
And more like a remote control.
Yes. And also, there's this weird scene where doesn't Uhura say that she got the position because she gave good head to Spock?
What? No, I didn't get that.
She's really worried that, you know, that she's not going to take her as the communications officer. It's like, she's like, have I not, you know, shown oral sensitivity? And it's like, really, is like, are you saying you want the job because you gave head to Spock? It's just,
I didn't catch that, really?
It's like, yes, watch it. It's really weird. And it's like, it seems like kind of like a, you know, so everything is nice and beautiful in the future, but you're women's rights. Like, fuck that. You're going to get a job if you blow me.
Well, he's a Vulcan. So, you know, he doesn't obey those rules that Gene Roddenberry set out.
Yeah. You know, watch it. It's just really is like, did you just say you're getting a job because you gave him head? It's really weird. They're together, but, and they, I guess she's playing with oral sensitivity as any, I don't know, but it's just, what?
Well, I will say, though, the relationship between Spock and Uhura in this new reality, I thought is a fantastic idea. I thought the scene where he's really upset because he lost his entire species, and Kirk is somewhat less than sensitive about it.
Yeah.
the scene where he's completely calm and then the elevator closes and she goes like, are you all right? And she's being like super sweet to him and super supportive, and they're sensual as well. The way lovers are, and he's just sort of like trembling and going like, well, I need your support that you're giving me right now, but I also need to act like a Vulcan right now because I'm about to lose my shit.
Yeah.
Like, that was really well acted from Quinto, who does Spock, and from Aurora. Like, that's a really good scene, and also a really touching one. A great way of showing how much Spock is about to lose it without showing him losing it yet.
Yeah. And then Kirk makes him lose it.
Yeah. It just pushes to the extreme. And, like, a lot of people have criticized the plot thread where, like, Spock just loses and goes, like, you're going to end up in, like, Tatooine. Like, you know? Yeah. and it's like, yeah, no, but, like, keep in mind what Kirk did. Like, really, like, the man just lost his parents, his species, everything he's ever known and loved.
Yeah.
And you're like, feels good, eh, sucker? Yeah. Yeah, you're going to end up on Tatooine if you do stuff like that, all right? Yeah.
The ice planet is Hoth, by the way, not Tatooine.
Oh, shoot. I screwed up the joke. I lose my geek membership card, which makes me feel good, actually.
I'll give you a pass with the dilithium crystal thing. But it was fun, and I wonder what the second one's going to be like.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. There's quite a few things. I love that Pike is still there. Because, you know, the elder captain in the reboot is Pike, and he's still there. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. They didn't kill him off in that continuity.
Yeah, but isn't Kirk captain now? Is he going to be, like, captain in training? What the hell? What the hell's happening here? Yeah.
Or maybe, you know, Pike will be admiral and he's a captain.
I guess, yeah.
There's a lot of people who think it's going to be a return of Khan. And I'm thinking that's probably not going to be. But you know there's one episode in the original series where you have this one character who gains, like, super psychic powers and becomes, like, beyond human and becomes arrogant for it, and then Kirk ends up killing him?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be that guy.
Interesting. Yeah, Khan wouldn't work. I mean, Khan, you have to set up that he's marooned first and then he wants the revenge. That's, in a two-hour movie, that's like, okay, marooned, like, 2 years later, and he comes back.
Oh, no!
That's interesting. That could work. I wonder if Spock's gonna have to mate in this one, you know, because the Vulcans mate every 7 years. It's gonna be a problem.
Oh, I wonder if they're gonna remember that. Oh, wait, there's no Vulcans left. He doesn't have to obey those crazy rules.
It's not a rule. It's his body that, you know, they're
full. Yeah, but he's half human.
He still needed two in the series.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. There were a bunch of episodes, you know, that's where he fought Kirk over mate, because the mate chose, like, Kirk instead of Spock, and Spock's like, I'm going to fight for him. And
yeah, I remember that episode. It was really stupid.
Yep.
Although that music, from their fight is used everywhere.
Yeah, they need to make a fun of that music in this movie. That's going to be great. Just a remix or something, you know?
Just like during the credits, when you reach the end part of the credits where they start listing the songs, just play that song.
Yes. Yeah, that'd be funny. That would make the credits worth watching.
Yeah. And I mean, the trailers look great. I mean, it's one of those J.J. Abrams productions. And what does that mean? That means that the trailers don't show you jack shit. Because he is really, really intense about controlling the marketing to avoid spoilers.
Really? Yeah. He's that powerful that he's like...
This is the man who is helming not only the Star Trek franchise, but the Star Wars franchise as well.
But I mean, the trailers were out before he got given Star Wars. But so he had even that power back then. It's like, no, we're not showing this. And the company said, all right, fine, we're listening to you and we're not showing this.
Yep.
Because I remember even Leonard Nimoy didn't have that for, I think it was the Search for Spock.
No, he didn't.
He was begging. He's like, don't show the shot of the Enterprise blowing up. You know, he wants it to be a shock in the movie. But it's like, no. In the trailer, it's going to be shocking. People are going to want to see the movie. It's like, I'm more on Leonard Nimoy's side there. But it's like, well, it's good that Abrams can do that, you know. So you get a sense of, oh, this movie's going to look cool. But you don't get, you know, a spoiler of the story.
The difference between Leonard Nimoy in this capacity for Star Trek 3 and J.J. Abrams for his productions is that he's producer as well as director.
Okay.
And every film he makes goes through his production company on top of that. So.
Nice. So, will it keep into the series, into the spirit, or will it F with the original?
I have to say that based on his previous film, I think it will keep with the spirit, because that's what I love about Star Trek, the new movie, is that it brought back the spirit.
And again, like you just mentioned, I didn't know that, but how powerful he is. But he's not going to be pressured by other people that, you know, no, you need to add this to make it more zany or that more action. He's like, no, I'm doing my thing. Mm-hmm. And if he keeps to the vision, which I'm probably he is, I don't think it's going to change. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting viewing.
I think so. Of course, having said that, small caveat, I know that a lot of Trek fans do not like the Star Trek reboot.
Really?
Yeah. Such as Frank, for example, from the D podcast.
Okay.
And I will say this. It seems to me that Abrams is a Trekkie, not a Trekker. If you're expecting science to be the driving theme of the story, it's not going to happen, because that's a Trekker thing, and Abrams is like full-on Trekkie. It's going to be Kirk's awesome humanity that drives the story.
That's fine. That's what the original series was all about, you know. Yeah. And, you know, even in Next Generation, there were more technology stuff because they could do it. But they still had the humanity. But, you know, it became all technology, I guess, during Voyager or in another series. It was like, oh, do this, and this. And, you know, ship the tachyon pulse. And you're like, you know, like, I can follow you guys because I know the science, but come on, seriously.
Oh, yeah. Even the Next Generation finale, which we praised an awful lot.
Yeah.
I mean, there's one scene that made me laugh out loud. And, like, because I subtitled it for the DVD release.
Yeah.
And when I got to that point, like, I laughed out loud in the office and people were like, what's going on? I was like, it's too long to explain. Yeah. But it's just like Geordi just going like, I don't know where Picard is, but I think we can get him back if we reverse the polarity of the... And I'm like, oh, no, you did not just shoehorn that bullshit in there. It was so unnecessary.
You have to reverse the polarity. That's what you do all the time in the series. You reverse the polarity of stuff. That's their solution to everything.
I know, and it was like the story didn't need it at all, but they had to shoehorn that sentence in there. Like, we're going to reverse the polarity. Reverse polarity for what, Geordi? You didn't even establish that.
You have to reverse the polarity. It is Star Trek. And they better reverse the polarity in this movie as well. I will laugh out loud and it'll be awesome.
Anyway, all this to say, I think we're both looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go see it.
Woo! All right. So if you want to share with us your feelings about the Star Trek series as a whole, or just on your anticipation for Star Trek Into Darkness, no colon, write us at mail@idiomanic.com or post a comment at idiomanic.com. We are also on Facebook. We are also on Twitter. We're also on iTunes. Write us a review if you can. Even if it's a negative one, just be honest.
Be honest. Be constructive. Constructive is important.
Yes.
Be honest.
We appreciate the feedback, and we don't have glass jaws. Like, so seriously, if you feel that we screwed up somewhere, we're going to learn from it. We're not going to be like, well, you're banned from our thing. Like, no, we're grown-ups.
And if we made a mistake discussing, you know, technical mistake discussing Star Trek, I will argue with you.
Yes. And if I made a grammar mistake, I will say, yes, I did. Bye.
Bye.